Hello and welcome to our first ever episode of ABA Mom. I am your host, Allie. I am a board certified behavior analyst with over 4 years of experience, and I'm also a mom of five in a blended family. Passionate about sharing practical strategies for families to thrive using applied behavior analysis, also known as ABA. So I know ABA can sound a little complicated. There's a lot of jargon involved, but I'm here to make it simple and easy to use. Today's episode is all about antecedent manipulation strategies. That is a powerful tool that can be used to prevent challenging behaviors before they even happen. So, what exactly are antecedent manipulation strategies? Simply put, these are proactive approaches that change the environment or circumstances that lead to a behavior. By modifying antecedents, or what happens first, we can change behavior before it occurs. This can help our children make better choices and mitigate potential issues. I'm excited to share real-life examples. From both clinical experiences and my own personal journey along the way. And I hope that these stories inspire you to implement some of these strategies in your home as well. The first example that I want to share with you guys today is morning routine, because mornings are so hectic. And I just went through a situation the other day with morning routine and getting out the door, getting ready for school, especially when things are rushed. It's hectic. Especially, if you do have kiddos that do not like the morning, because I know myself am not a morning person, and a couple of my kids are not morning people. Between getting everyone dressed, making breakfast, ensuring homework's packed, their backpacks ready to go, getting socks and shoes on, it can feel really overwhelming. When one of my daughters was younger, she was very resistant to getting ready for school, which often led to meltdowns, and I mean full-on tantrums. She's on the floor screaming, crying, resistant to put her shoes on, get her socks on, sometimes resistant to brush her teeth. So it was definitely a hassle trying to get her out of the door. As she's gotten older, things have gotten a little easier, but I also use some antecedent manipulation strategies to help her along the way. When I started working with her, trying to help her with her mornings, I was still fairly new to ABA. So this was about 5 years ago, or 6 years ago. I was still in my graduate program, but I was all about to try any of the strategies that I was learning at the time. So one thing that I did that really helped was a visual schedule. I created a colorful chart with pictures representing each step of the morning routine. So, brushing teeth, getting dressed, eating breakfast, packing her backpack. And this hung in her bedroom so she could see it every morning. I also got a protective sleeve instead of laminating it. It was a little bit cheaper for me at the time. You can pick them up at the dollar store. It's just a little pocket that you can put anything in. Any kind of paper that you want to try to laminate. Schools use them often. So if you go to the dollar store, I think you'll see it and you go, oh, that's what she was talking about. So it's $1.25 now. Or you can laminate it. The reason I suggest this is so that way you can take a dry erase marker and they can do it themselves, check out each item as they go, and you can double check, make sure things got done in the morning. Checklists are super helpful. I love checklists. It feels great to accomplish getting something done, but it also simplifies the task for them. So breaking down one step so that way mornings are not so overwhelming for them. Hanging us up in our bedroom was extremely helpful. She was able to check off each task. Now it took some practice. It wasn't instant right away where she could just finish her task and do it completely on her own. She definitely needed some help in the beginning. So now she knows exactly what to do, what her expectation is, and she was checking off each task as she completed it. This small change made a huge difference. And non-ABA term, when we would talk about anxiety, but I could see the anxiety in her was decreasing because we were able to break it down to those smaller steps, and she was less resistant in the mornings. Also using a timer for her to brush her teeth definitely helped too. It made it feel a little bit less overwhelming for her. Now, moving forward, she's 12 years old and she doesn't have that resistance anymore. And one thing that often what I hear from parents is, are we going to have to do this forever? Whether that's reinforcement or if it's, an antecedent manipulation strategy or whatever it may be, some kind of tool that they're using, are we going to use this forever? And the idea is not to use any of these things forever, right? It's a helpful tool. So it's something I was able to fade out for her. So she no longer uses that anymore. She's older. So, like I said, it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I was still finishing up grad school. I'm happy to say she's really successful. Actually, now she gets herself ready and gets on the bus. I don't even set an alarm. She sets her own alarm. She gets herself up and ready. She gets ready to go. Now, do I think that's going to happen with everyone? No. And as a matter of fact, some of my kids still struggle getting up in the morning. She just happens to be motivated to get up. I think part of that is she has like a getting ready routine. So she enjoys that as well. So that's a motivation for her in the mornings. But she's definitely come a long way. We're not seeing any more of that resistance from her. Another example that I want to give you guys for antecedent manipulation strategies. It sounds like a mouthful. But preventative strategies, right? So whatever happens before a behavior, things that you can change in your environment. So grocery shopping, that's what I want to talk about. So can anyone relate to that? Shopping with kids. If you are not prepared to walk into a store with kids, it can be a battle zone. It's definitely sometimes feels like herding cats, especially, maybe you have more than one kids, maybe, you have kids that the expectation is I get to buy something every time I go to the store. So there's different expectations going to the store. Maybe they have meltdowns every time they go to the store. And so you're, nervous or afraid to even take them to the store at this point. To make this experience more manageable, I have used, and I've done this with clients, a shopping list. And depending on the age group, sometimes it's with pictures if they're not able to read or they have limited reading comprehension. And so it just depends, what their skill set is, what level that they're at. With items that they need. So really they're a part of the grocery shopping experience. So, and before heading to the store, you can sit down with them. This is something that I've done with on community outings with kids. Sitting down with them, telling them what their expectation is when they go to the store. So first you can say, hey, so here's what we're going to get at the store. So whether that's reviewing a list or just kind of setting those expectations, what's expected for them at the store. So keeping close by, putting their hands on the cart, Whatever that may be, just setting that before going in can make a huge difference. And you can even make the list together, depending on your kids. Maybe you have one that's really wants to be helpful. I love that when I have kids that want to just be a helper. I have one of those at home too that just always want to help no matter what. So going through the list together, super helpful. And you can even make a game out of it too. So when you go to the store, you can say, where's the picture of the fruit? Where's the apples? And what color apples do we need, or what vegetables or snacks? So you could even go through and match the picture, right? If you have early readers, maybe it could be a learning experience for them, but you can make a fun game out of being at the store with them. Now, sometimes I know as parents, the real life situation is we are getting in and out of there. We are ready to go. I do not like to go to the grocery store. I have most of the time my groceries are delivered unless I absolutely have to go. But you can do this for any store. Also, the list will probably help you get in and out a little bit faster. You can even sit in your car and just make that list really quick on your phone, even. Just say, hey, here's the things that we're going to get, and here's my expectation for you. So I know that sometimes you may not have that time. It may be more of a rush situation. So you may not have the time to sit and make out a full list the way that you could. So, when you arrive at the store, your kiddo might start to feel empowered and focused by being able to know what the expectations are, and knowing exactly what to find. So, and that could make it faster, right? If they know what it is that they need to find, what exactly what they're looking for, whether that's through pictures or through words, and it gives them something to look forward to. So it reduces them asking, especially if you have one that's always asking for sweets and toys and things like that. And if they do a great job at the store, it's up to you as the parent, but I would set the expectation, let them know maybe there is something like you could get a candy at checkout after their store experience, not before, but after. Or maybe there's something fun they can do when they get home or in the car. So maybe they even have like a tablet they could bring with them for when they leave the store. So when you get to the car, we're gonna get the tablet. You get to use the tablet on the way home if we follow the expectations at the store. So it's something for them to look forward to. All right, another example. This is a big one, I think, as a parent. I think we've all had some kind of experience with screen time, and everyone has some different thoughts on that. So this is my last example that I want to share for today, but a common topic in many households is screen time. Exactly when screen time is, when not to have screen time. So I know sometimes kids get very upset transitioning off of screen time. I hear this a lot. I've experienced it myself. So turning off, whatever device it may be, pick and choose. So the TV, the tablet, transitioning off is hard. So sometimes what I've experienced is parents either just don't give them the screen time at all because it's so hard to transition off, or they don't give a time to transition off because they know what that's going to look like. So it's definitely difficult. So, one thing in antecedent manipulation strategy, again, there's that mouthful, to help with this is to implement a timer system. And again, set that expectation before. Hey, we're going to set a timer. I set a timer for 30 minutes, for example. and explain to them that when the timer goes off, it's time to power down. Place the timer in some place visible so they can see it and how much time is left. So you want to have a visual timer. So it that can be your phone. That's an option that they can see visually. I recommend getting some kind of timer for them. And so that way they can see it. Also, Alexa, you can even get a timer. Like if you have the Alexa where it shows you, like it's a visual Alexa or Alexa Show, I think that's what it's called. You can use that as well as a timer. There are some timers you can use on a computer to count down. So if you don't have a visual timer available, there's definitely options where you can come up with one. This strategy can definitely be a game changer. Now, do every time, just because you set a timer, are they going to just get off and say, "Oh, my 30 minutes is up"? My experience is no. So it's something that you implement and takes some time, but the biggest thing is your consistency. So you're going to say, "This is the expectation, 30 minutes is up." And then you can kind of give like what I like to call the illusion of a choice. So 30 minutes are up, they power off, or they don't power off. If they are not powering off, you can say, "Hey, do you want to turn TV off, or do you want me to do it for you?" So it's giving a choice, but either way, it's coming off, right? So it may be difficult at first, but that consistency, because they know now, they're learning this is the expectation. So over time, they are learning that this is the expectation. When I have 30 minutes, it means that 30 minutes is how much time I have. Now, another thing I do sometimes, so we're getting a little bit off a topic, but if somebody asks a kid, not just somebody, for more time, but they're asking appropriately, sometimes I will set a timer for some more time because they did ask, they were getting off appropriately. So maybe if you say, "Okay, I like how you asked, 5 more minutes," but still setting expectations. So once 5 more minutes are up, it's time to power off. The strategy can be a game changer. It gives them more control because they know exactly how much time is left. And it's a chance to prepare for a transition. When the timer goes off, less likely to have one of those meltdowns, because it's anticipated. They know what the expectation is. So I've shared some experiences. Let's talk about a few tips families looking to implement some antecedent manipulation strategies. So one thing is you want to identify triggers. So pay attention to situations that lead to challenging behavior. So what happens right before behavior occurs? This will help you identify potential antecedents to modify. So really pay attention to your environment. What happens before the behavior occurs? Use visual supports. So we just talked about a schedule, a timer, lists. Visual supports can help children understand expectations and prepare for transitions. Involve your kids. Engage children in the planning process. When they feel included, they're more likely to cooperate and invest in those changes. Be consistent. Consistency is key. Ensure that everyone in the family is on the same page when implementing these strategies for the best results. Celebrate success. Don't forget to celebrate small victories. Acknowledge and praise your children when they are successfully navigating transitions or following routines. Positive reinforcement can go a long way in encouraging them to continue using these strategies. Thanks for joining me today on ABA Mom on our very first episode. I hope these real life examples of antecedent manipulation strategies have inspired you to try some new approaches with your own children at home. Remember, the goal is to create a supportive environment that helps challenging behaviors before they arise. If you have any stories or experiences, I would love for you to share. Or if you have questions about future episodes, feel free to reach out to me on social media. I would love hearing from you and learning about the journey of navigating the world of ABA. Before we wrap up, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify. Rate us, leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more families who could benefit from these strategies. Join us next week. We'll be exploring the power of positive reinforcement, how to encourage good behavior at home. You won't want to miss it. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, remember, every small step you take makes a difference in your family's journey.